Did you ever buy coffee from drive-through outlets before? Or do you still driving there and buying your coffee at the drive-through outlet? Someone claimed that he stopped buying coffee from drive-through outlets because of a very regrettable experience. So, while driving, going to work, he calculated his time. Oh, sabi niya sa kanyang sarili, oh, may time pa, pwede pa. And he saw that he had enough time. So he decided to drive through the outlet and to buy his black coffee. So he ordered black coffee, hot coffee. He paid for it and then drove away. So, you know, if you've been buying coffee from Tim Horton or McDonald's or anywhere, the coffee is hot if it's right from the coffee maker. And so he waited a few minutes to let the coffee get warm, and then he sipped his coffee from its lid. And so he got frustrated. It was not hot. It was cold. He cannot forget that experience and decided not to pass by the drive-thru ever. Of course, he cannot go back because he has no more time. He need to go to his work on time. But one might think, was the instruction clear? Well, experience is a great teacher, so they say. Those are just one examples of deplorable situations, regrettable, frustrating situation that others experience and may probably happen to anybody, which may also cause someone not to trust somebody easily. But in those times, who can help us when we fear something that we cannot control? There are many things we cannot control. Things that we fear or regret later. Who can help us be freed from those fears so that we don't worry of things that we cannot control? It says in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, let's read this together. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. By faith, we trust Christ for our eternal life. Whatever may happen in this life, and when we sense no worry, that is a manifestation of active faith in the Lord. Do you still worry about life? To have faith in Christ, it includes trust that He cares for temporary things that we need in this life. Do you agree? It's not only about eternal life. Of course, God cares much about eternal life, our eternal life. But does He ignore temporary life? Does He ignore the practical things that we need in this life? No. Life on earth serves as practice, moment for life in heaven. If you find enjoyment in your Christian life now, for all eternity, you will certainly enjoy your eternal life in the presence of God much more than you can ever imagine. Yet most often, we are very slow to practice godly lifestyle, and we worry a lot because we are very slow. Christ has prescribed an antidote, a solution to worry. Do you know what? Do you know what is the Christ's prescription to not worrying, to worry? Matthew 6, 33, 34. Remember this. That's Christ's prescription of worry. Let's read. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Its day has enough trouble of its own. So don't separate those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. That's continuation. In the translation of the Bible, there's period, but in the original translation, there's no period. So it is one sentence, one statement. Many things, many events, situations make us worry. Have you worried lately? Have you worried that Pacquiao may be lost? Last night when you were watching? Why would God allow events? Why would God allow things? When he knows that we may worry. Worry has this negative effect on several aspects of our life. And the best antidote or solution to worry is first seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, how, you may ask? We pray, Lord, be the Lord of my life. That's seeking his kingdom, his authority, to let Christ be Lord of our life. How can we know? How should we know? How will we know when Christ is performing his lordship in our life? How can we know that he is actively the master of our life? When we pray, Lord, be the Lord of my life. Lord, be the master of my life. Lord, be the boss of my life in everything I do. Please, Lord, you guide me. That's seeking his kingdom. But how do we know that he is really a Lord of our life? We are to evaluate our life, the way we speak, the way we act, the way we think, our lifestyle. If his righteousness becomes our guide in life, in our thoughts, our actions, in our words, the words we speak, then the Lord is the Lord. Christ becomes the Lord of our life. So it's not only a ritual or some kind of recitation. Lord, be the Lord of my life, and we go and do our own. The Lord commands us not to worry, yet most often we disobey. We are very slow to obey. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, to obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of ram. The Lord did not say that to sacrifice or to offer something to the Lord is bad. He did not say that. He said, it's good, but there is a better way that God prefers. He prefers obedience. Did you know that Christ has commanded us not to worry about tomorrow? Did he not say when, do not worry about tomorrow? What do you think of that? Is it a command or just a statement or suggestion? Some people think it's just a suggestion or interesting statement of Christ, but it's a command. The Lord commanded not to worry. That is why it is not easy to obey. And we worry because the command, do not worry, is godly command. Worry does not come from the Lord. It's human instinct. what comes from the Lord? The fruit of the Spirit of Christ, which is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This description of the fruit of the Spirit is the very opposite of worry. If you love your wife, for example, you don't worry what may happen, or your wife may grow old and, oh, maganda pa ka rin kaya ang aking asawa pag old niya. You don't worry about that. If you have this joy in your work, you don't worry about, ang dami naman pinapagawa ni boss. Or, if you have joy in your studies, the degree that you are pursuing, ang hirap naman, boss, sir, teacher, di ba bawasan? I saw that in the seminary. Marami sa mga aking naging kaklase na, kapag ang requirement ay sample, sir, pwede bang 9 na lang? they want less. Ganon. And if there's peace, if Christ's Spirit prevails in us and there's peace, yeah. Win or loss, si Pacquiao, yeah, well, it's okay. Hindi naman siya mamigay sa atin, di ba? The pride in us being a Filipino, yun lang naman ang sa atin, eh. Di ba? Patience. Pag makulit ang isang bata, well, sometimes if you are too busy, if we are too busy parents, and mama, dada, time ka nga dyan, meron akong we lost yung opportunity to minister to our children because we care more about what we want to accomplish than to really testify to them that Christ is the Lord of our life. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, if you cannot sense that, it's because we allow ourselves to be the Lord of our life and not Christ. Then what should we do? Lord, look at me. Hindi na naman ako nagsasubmit sa iyo. Help me, Lord, help me submit to you. Let the fruit of the Spirit bear fruit in my life. Please, please, please. If you can, plead. Pour out your heart. Keep on asking. You know the feeling when you first became Christian. That joy of you don't care much whatever happens. That's the first experience. But remember that. That's the joy of salvation. The Lord's commands, these are the guides to have rightful, righteous lifestyle. And when we have the righteous lifestyle, we don't worry. We don't worry. Like, for example, if you are doing the best you can, enjoying your work, and then suddenly your boss just terminated you because you do not know what happened, rejoice. The Lord give it. The Lord take it away. Believe He will give you better. The Lord doesn't waste your talent that good in you. He will use it somewhere else where others would be inspired to believe in the Lord. We can only obey the Lord's command when we allow His Spirit to prevail in our hearts and in our mind. And when the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in our life, worry cannot control us no more. Worry cannot control us. Jacob was a believer of God, but he also had his share of worries of life. This is why we are studying the book of Genesis, and we will learn from the believers of God how they live their lifestyle, their pitfalls, their mistakes, the way they succeed, how they practice their life. And we learn from others' mistake. When someone said, it is better to learn from others' mistake than to learn from your mistake, because it's tough to learn from your mistake. When his sons, the sons of Jacob, told him, there is this harsh ruler in Egypt, wanted to see our youngest brother to prove our innocence, Jacob said, no, 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 that cannot happen. Why did he not let Benjamin, the youngest, go to Egypt? Because he worried that Benjamin might be harmed along the way in this mission. He cannot allow to do that. Why go there and try something? If Jacob and his son heard the Lord's prescription about worry, what is it again? What is the prescription of the Lord for worry? Seek first kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, the things that we are worrying, will be given to you as well. Not only material things, but even things that we cannot control. If they would have heard the Lord's prescription about worry, they would have peace in any situation. If Jacob had heard that, he would have, okay, go ahead, let Benjamin go, and not tremble of events that they cannot control. Let's read again verse 27 and 28 together. Let's read. At the place where he stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack. My silver has been returned, he said to his brothers. Here it is in my sack. Their heart sank, and they turned to each other, trembling, and said, what is this that God has done for us? Now, the sons of Jacob covered more than 600 kilometers, more than 600 kilometers from Egypt to Canaan. So approximately, that's a straight line, but it could be about 1,000 kilometers. Approximately, they may have traveled 7 to 10 days until they reached their home in Canaan. The fastest person, or the average person, oh, it's not so slow, was not so fast in walking, can walk. If you walk, how far can you walk in, say, 1 hour? Accordingly, estimated about 5 kilometers, 3 miles, or 5 kilometers an hour. If you walk, average, not running, just walking leisurely, not so slow. So imagine that they just have the rest from time to time. Of course, it's common sense that they may have rested where there was shade. They didn't rest under the hot sun, or where their donkey, when they rest, they can let their donkey graze on the green grass, or that they can see on the ground. Maybe they choose those places where they rested. But one night, can you go, Louis, to YouTube and type donkey braying? A donkey may have been braying, making much noise, and they cannot sleep, so that one of the brothers needed to feed his donkey, and they were shocked and trembled. His silver was in the sack. Yeah, braying donkey. Can you go scroll down? Not break, bray, B-R-A-Y. There you go. Click that one, so that you will know. Have you heard of donkey braying before?
Oh.
Okay, that's okay. That's enough. you might be laughing, but when you are tired traveling, now ask the newly arrival family, the sister, brother-in-law, John and Myra. They just arrived a few days ago. Just imagine they are sleeping, and then these young people come and play computer game in their home while they were sleeping, and they say, I don't know if they would love Winnipeg if they were like that, right? Can you imagine yourself when you're resting? And then somebody just crying, maybe okay, but that's frustrating. Well, when Joseph's brother left Egypt, they did not check the luggage they received. Last night, Burrell was telling me somebody, his friend, that when they went to the U.S. and come back, the person forgot something that his friend was stopped at the border because he needed to present something that he needed to present. So they waited for there are many things that they asked. So for not checking your luggage and going through the border is not good. It would give you heartbreak, perhaps. I don't know. So they left Egypt, the brothers of Joseph, and they did not check their luggage. Why? Was it because they were scared of their life? Or they just wanted to leave Egypt immediately and go as fast as they can because the ruler was so harsh? They did not inspect if the items they received were grains or just sand or something. They didn't know if they bought something edible. Why? Now, have you had experience or do you enjoy online shopping? Online shopping has become more popular than ever. Is it worth the risk to shop online? When you receive the product you purchased online, are you satisfied with it? Have you ever had received different product or slightly different from what you paid for? I bought a MacBook a battery, but the battery was used battery, and that's not good. Have you ever regretted shopping online? There are many complaints when buying product online. Have you had one? The problem with online markets cannot be totally eliminated, although others are trying to establish their name, but it's really uncontrollable. So when you personally buy product in person, you've got the chance to check, inspect if this the package is good, everything is good. Yet still there are complaints made. You might be buying your shoes there, oh, new shoes, or buying new shirt, oh, new shirt. And then when you go home, you smell at the kili-kili. Bakit amoy ang pang? Dahil binalik yun. Ginamit yun. Isang maybe graduation or isang party, and then binalik. Oh, return exchange. Kind like, and people are doing that here. Did you know that? Before you wear the new clothes that you bought, be sure to wash it first and disinfect the kili-kili, the armpit, because they might have used that even the shoes, just spray and Lysol or something. The brothers may have been scared to death after the ruler of Egypt treated them very harshly, so that they did not bother to check what they purchased. Well, Joseph recognized them. Oh, these are my brothers. But they did not recognize him. When Joseph was harsh toward his brothers, not a few have interpreted, oh, perhaps Joseph was just taking his revenge against his brothers because his brother was so harsh to him before, so he was harsh. So it was his way of revenge for their cruelty against him. But think about it one more time. Would it not be a sweeter revenge if he introduced himself? Well, brothers, I am Joseph. You know, remember the time when I pleaded for my life? That would have been much sweeter revenge if his purpose was to take revenge, right? Well, actually, when Joseph hid himself and wept, it can also be interpreted that it was not really his intention to take revenge against his brothers. Remember the time when his brothers were talking about, oh, ito siguro nangyayari sa atin dahil hindi natin pinakinggan na si Joseph nung nagmamakaawa. Sabi ko na nga sa inyo, huwag niyong galawin yung bata, sabi naman ni Reuben. And when Joseph heard how they were talking to one another, blaming each other, they did not know that he understood them because he was using an interpreter. He ran and hid himself and wept. He wept because he just cannot contain that sorrow. Why these things, Lord, happen? This drama happened in our life. So why did he treat them harshly like spies then? What did his brothers think about it? Let's read again, verse 29, 30, 31, and 32. Let's read together. When they came to their father, Jacob, in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said, "The man who is lord over all the land spoke harshly to us and treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men, we are not spies. We were 12 brothers, son of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.'" The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was with Joseph. Would you agree that the Lord gave wisdom to Joseph on how he acted, on how he speak as responsible prime minister, not just before his brothers, but to everyone? When Joseph treated his brothers harshly like spies, it caused them to defend themselves and prove that they were innocent. And subsequently, as it happened, that they mentioned, they cannot prove anything. They cannot ask, "Can you prove? Maybe the other traders, can you prove that we are not we are honest men?" No, because some of the traders there might be those traders whom they sold Joseph. Mangyari po yung mga kasama nilang mga traders doon, mga merchants na kasama nila, hindi nila maaaring, "Pwede bang you can testify for us that we are innocent, we are not spies, we are honest men?" No, they cannot ask them, "How can you say you are honest men when you sold your brother?" So they didn't ask any merchants out there to testify for them. They just wanted to prove by their words that they are really innocent, and that they mentioned their father. "We are all brothers." "Oh, are you brothers? Why aren't you, hindi kayo magkakamukha? Bakit ikaw kulot? Bakit ikaw medyo hindi kulot?" Parang ganun. And they said, "We are all brothers and the son of one man. And we have another brother, two brothers, not here. But the one is no more, the other one is back in Canaan." And so Joseph demanded that they will bring their youngest brother, Benjamin to Egypt to prove their innocence. Can you prove that? Of course, Joseph knows what they are saying, but he just wanted to see Benjamin himself. He was so homesick. He wanted to see, because I guess Benjamin was very young when Joseph was sold, and that was 20 years ago. So 20 years, maybe Benjamin was about 20, 25 years old at that time. So he wanted to see, oh, lumaki na kaya, malaki na kaya ang kanyang mga muscle, mahaba na kaya ang kanyang balbas, may puti na kaya siyang buhok, kulot kaya siya kagaya ko, or I don't know. Maybe he was thinking that he just wanted to see his brother. Well, as a guarantee that they would do that, he had one of his brothers, Simeon, imprisoned in Egypt, and he had them bound before their eyes. Tinalian sa harap nila. Okay, take Simeon away. No, he asked the guards or his servants perhaps to tie roughly, harshly Simeon before their eyes. Why? Now, that's brilliant, but totally harsh treatment. Hi? Why? Joseph may have used that harsh treatment so that his servants were observing, and other traders, they were also observing. That it's not only the brothers of Joseph who were there, and there were also some officials, maybe politicians, opposition politicians, so that they will see what Joseph would do when he catch spies. And there might be politicians spying there, that they may see something that Joseph would do that they can use to impeach him, or to tell Pharaoh that, oh, Joseph is not doing great, something like that. I don't know. But anyway, his brothers cannot forget that harsh encounter with him. Have you experienced that harsh encounter at the border? When you cross from U.S. to Canada, or when you arrive from the Philippines? Some people just cannot forget the treatment. When we were coming from China, we go to Hong Kong and to renew our visa at that time. Among all those who were lining up for the immigration, I was only the one who was pulled aside. Perhaps they were thinking of me as, oh, this farmer. They think I was a Chinese farmer because I am dark. And they pulled me aside, and anyway, my backpack was full, and they might be thinking, and they ask, what are these? I like boats. And I was thinking about that. Why of all people I was pulled out? And perhaps God allowed that to experience for me to use today. I don't know, but you might have one of experience like that, similar to that. So they described to their father that the man who is lord over the land treated them harshly, and they never recognized him as their brother Joseph. Why? Maybe Joseph might have changed physically. He was a lanky, thin, young person, teenager when they sold him. But at that time, of course, he had all that luxury that he can eat, and he was given good treatment, and maybe he had fairer skin and had a good physical body, and possible there was authority in his voice. For 5 years, he'd been shouting, all right, collect all the grains, put them here, okay, build this, build that, or have to store grain. And then for 5 years that he'd been shouting, for giving instruction how they would collect the grain, His voice grew bigger and bigger, and his authority became stronger and stronger, and the way he treated, he just had this authoritative voice that they may have heard, so that they were scared of him. Have you heard somebody?
Hoy, halika dito! Dito ka! Pumila!
Kung hindi ka matuwa, may matuwa, matawa, di ba? You will not be scared if the instruction is something like that, right? Now, verse 33-34, let's read. Then the man who is lord over the land said to us, "This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for your starving household and go. But bring your youngest brother to me, so I will know that you are not spies but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you, and you can trade in the land." Now, when his brothers were telling what he did to them, when they were reporting to their father, can you sense the fear of their experience in Egypt? Can you sense that? They reported word for word what Joseph said. It seems like they were very scared to death before Joseph. Perhaps when they bowed down before him, didn't even raise their face to look straight to Joseph's eyes. So when he accused them, "You are spies, you are spies." Oh, they didn't, no, we are innocent. They just bowed down their heads in humility because they are simply very scared to death. The Lord said in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, let's read this. "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." That was what the Lord said to Cain. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, let's read this. "Your wickedness will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. Consider then and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe of me, declares the Lord Almighty." Now, remember that the Lord records every activity, every word we say. Every righteousness and wickedness, the Lord has records. He rewards the righteous and punishes the wicked. When the Israelites sinned against God, the Lord used the Assyrians to punish the Israelites. But he also punished the Assyrians. It says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 12 to 16, so let's read this event. "When the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion in Jerusalem, he will say, 'I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom, because I have understanding, I remove the boundaries of nations. I plunder their treasures like a mighty one. I subdued their kings as one reaches into a nest, so my hand reached for the wealth of the nations. As people gather abundant eggs, so I gather all the countries. Not one flapped a wing or opened its mouth to chirp.'" Verse 15. "Thus the axe raised itself above the person who swings it, and the saw boasts against the one who uses it, as if a rod were to wield the person who lifts it up, or a club brandish the one who is not wood. Therefore, the Lord Almighty, will send wasting disease upon his sturdy warriors. Under his pomp, a fire will be kindled like a blazing flame." When the Lord punished the Israelites and brought them into exile from west to east, their captors did not treat them fairly or with dignity. Well, during wartime, are you required to be good? Are you required to be kind and take care of your enemies? The Assyrians were brutal and cruel when they defeated and captured the Israelites. The Assyrians were God's instrument to punish the Israelites, but they've got to answer their wickedness before God. Luke chapter 6, verse 32 through 36, let's read this. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do not do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the grateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now that's very tough, right? Kaya kung magpautang kayo ng inyong mga kamag-anak sa Pilipinas, kung hindi man nila kayo babayaran, praise God for that. Your reward will be great. Kahit pa nang ang pinautang nyo, ay hindi naman nila talaga pinang negosyo, kundi pinang karaoke. But be merciful as your Father is merciful. That's again a command. It's tough, right? It's tough to be merciful because it's godly command. We need Christ to help us be merciful. Now, if we say that Joseph's lifestyle represents a lifestyle of believers, kung ang buhay ni Joseph noon ay, yun ay pwede natin pag-aralan bilang mga mananampalataya sa Panginoong Hesus. Why was he very harsh to his brothers and accused them as spies? Well, Joseph acted like he was harsh, but in his heart, he was very sad. He mourned that he needed to be harsh before his brothers. He wept privately as proof that he did not really enjoy being harsh to his brothers. He did not enjoy that. He went and ran and hid himself. He wept privately. He had to do it. Later, after their father died, this revealed that he did not really enjoy what he did to his brothers. Let's read Genesis chapter 50, verse 18 to 21. Let's read this. His brothers then came and threw himself down before him. "We are your slave," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intend to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Now, that was the time Jacob and his family went to Egypt. So his brothers were thinking, "Oh, mabait lang ngayon si Joseph sa atin dahil buhay pa ang ating tatay na si Jacob." Now that Jacob died, they were so scared because they know how powerful Joseph was. But he said, "Don't be afraid." And now that proves that he did not want to take revenge against his brothers. That is the lifestyle of believers. Only when the Spirit of God, he did that because the Spirit of God was in the life of Joseph. We can do that. We can be merciful when we allow the Spirit of Christ. So when we sense that it's so sweet to get revenge, just pause for a moment and ask, "Lord, fill me, empower me with your Holy Spirit, please. You know, I feel bad about the situation." Just ask the Lord. Keep praying until you sense that joy, that peace in your heart. When you are rattled, keep praying until you sense that self-control. Most often, rebuke is interpreted as being harsh. When you rebuke somebody, "Oh, you're so harsh," they think it's expression of hatred. But when our faith is active, we can trust that God uses even unpleasant events to rebuke us, which are essential supplement for his good purposes in our life. When we trust that God is love, his command and his rebukes, those are expression of his love. We may not understand everything, because just imagine, just think that God transcends everything, every even our thoughts, that we cannot really grasp everything unless his spirit is at work in our life. So seek God. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with wisdom. Fill me the Spirit with wisdom, Spirit of wisdom. Let's read again verse 35-36. As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. Now you want to take Benjamin? Everything is against me." Now that's the opposite of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jacob became pessimistic because his favorite son Joseph disappeared. And his sons reported, "Oh, Simeon was left in Egypt. He was imprisoned. He was bound before our eyes. The ruler was very harsh. He can only be released if Benjamin would come with us and show him to that harsh ruler in Egypt." And the manner, perhaps his sons described the harsh treatment they had experienced before Joseph, may have terrified Jacob. Maybe Jacob saw in their eyes that fear, and he easily believed them. When we were watching Pacquiao last night, I watched that weigh-in, when they were weighing, presenting to the media, how fierce the eyes of Kit Thurman, when he looked at Pacquiao. He looked at him, as if he is really very fierce, dangerous fighter. But after he was hit, and then with the camera would focus on him, and his eyes were just, you can see that fear in the eyes. Kind of like that. You can imagine a person when he is so fierce and he's kind of like he's very brave or courageous. But if you are calm and look at them, later you will see there's fear behind those fierce eyes. Jacob mentioned, "Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. Now you take Benjamin," when he told them. "And you deprived me of my children." Only three names he mentioned and said, "My children." The three names that he mentioned. Did Jacob imply that he favored Joseph, Benjamin, and Simeon over his other sons? Why did he not call? "You deprived me of these three. Why my children?" Kind of like, parang sila lang yung anak mo, ha? Parang ganun. Well, Joseph and Benjamin were Jacob's son with Rachel, and Jacob loved Rachel more than the other wives, and it follows that he would favor Joseph and Benjamin more than the other children. But how about Simeon? Did Jacob care about Simeon because he was worried about what may happen to him in Egypt? Verse 37 in 38, let's read. Then Reuben said to his father, "You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care and I will bring him back." But Jacob said, "My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow." Well, Reuben interpreted that their father cared much about Simeon also. And being the oldest son, Reuben, he felt responsible to bring back Simeon home. But Jacob sensed that Reuben was very tentative to sacrifice completely to accomplish the mission he proposed. Why? Why did he offer his son to be punished if he failed? Why not himself if he is really responsible? Jacob did not desire to punish anybody for others' failure. He added that if Benjamin is harmed the rest of his life, until he dies, will be sad, will be empty, will be mourning. Being the oldest son, Reuben may have felt guilty that he did nothing. Why didn't you do that before? He did nothing to bring Simeon back to Canaan. But when he offered his son to Jacob to kill, if he fails to bring Simeon home, he may have interpreted that Jacob needed something to express his anger. So it's like Reuben was offering a gift. Okay, ito ang gift ko, just to appease you, just to make you feel relieved from your anger. Yeah, okay, patayin mo na lang yung aking mga anak. Pag ako that was the how Reuben look at what he was doing. He was not really very faithful sa kanyang sinasabi. But we are like Reuben. We are like Reuben when we feel guilty of disobedience to the Lord. We sacrifice, we try to make ourselves busy doing something we assume to be God's will. Lord, gagawin ko na to para ma-please ka sa akin. We do that. The Lord doesn't need anything from us more than a contrite heart. All He needed is to see in us a repentant heart. We cannot give anything to God that pleases Him more than a repentant heart. Do you feel guilty when you commit terrible sin? What terrible sin have you committed that you feel so guilty about it? It's normal for people to, for you people of God, believers, to feel guilty when we sin because the Spirit of Christ in us wants us to repent, to be cleansed, to experience once again the joy of salvation, that the joy of salvation we experienced when we were new Christians. And sin make it sour. Now, King David was very guilty of his terrible mistake. You know, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, after that, he also planned the death of Bathsheba's husband. So he was the mastermind why the husband of Bathsheba died. He pleaded in Psalm 51, verse 14 to 17. Let's read this together. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior, in my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God will not despise. Now, if you look at this, David just prophesied what the Lord desires from us. When our joy of salvation is granted, is restored to us, it sustains us. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength to keep on. Sometimes we think like, oh, I'm so tired. You're not really tired physically, but you are tired of what's happening around or what's happening in your life. But the joy of salvation sustains us. What happens when we do that? We teach the ways of the Lord to, we testify, we witness, we evangelize. Verse 13, then I will teach transgressors your way so that sinners will turn back to you. That's the result of having that joy of salvation. Have you experienced it lately? And then it says, verse 15, open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare praise. Do you praise God every day? We wake up in the morning, Lord, thank you in your life. That was a good night rest. Yeah! Do you do that? And in the evening when you lie down, oh, cozy bed. Thank you, Lord, I'm in Canada. Not in Iraq. All right. Do you do that? Or you're just complaining, oh Lord, sana ang aking sasakyan ay magiging Lamborghini naman. David prophesies that once joy of salvation is restored, it practically manifested in teaching sinners to seek God's forgiveness too. Everyone, no one exempted, everyone is prone to commit sin. We always sin. The Lord does not require us to sacrifice. Christ has sacrificed once and for all. He paid in full. All we need to do is to repent of our sins. God won't reject us when we come to Him with contrite and repentant heart. Once assured of God's forgiveness, we won't be scared to death no more. So keep on seeking, Lord, assure me that you have forgiven me. Assure me, Lord, give me assurance. Remove these guilty feelings in me. Do you agree that God does not reject repentant heart? Do you agree with that? Do you? Yes? No? Praise God. Say praise God. With pure heart, we've got joy to keep trusting and praising God. In closing, shall we stand up again and read again verse 51, verse 14 to 17? Prayerfully now, let's read this, and then we'll close in prayer. Let's read. Create in me a pure heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. God, who Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. My sacrifice, O God, is broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you, God will not despise.